Well, it's a privilege for me to get to share today. Brother Allen asked me a few weeks ago before I headed out of the country if I would be willing and able, and I said I'd love to do that. It's normally about this time of year that Brother Allen gives me an opportunity to preach and to sort of lead into our global mission focus for the year. And so that's what we're doing today, really leading into it. We don't have it all worked out yet, but it is something that I can share with you the framework and see what God might say to you in your heart as you see and sense what He's doing now in your life and what He might want to do in the future in and through your life. I want to ask you to take your Bible, if you would, turn to Revelation. We're going to look at just two verses as our primary verses. We're going to look at some other passages. It's going to be a different kind of message today. It's really more of a heart-to-heart talk, sharing information with you about something that you may already know. It's been available to you. You may not realize that you know it. But just a heart-to-heart from one of the pastors of this church to you as the people of this church. And if you're a guest today and it's not what you're normally looking for, well, it's not what normally happens, okay? And so every time you come, almost every other occasion, Brother Allen or whoever's standing up here is taking God's word, expounding on it, breaking it down to where you and I can relate it to our lives and see what God's doing in us. But today's going to be a little bit different, and I hope that you'll allow me the privilege of doing that, because I think it's very informative, but also hopefully in the end ultimately challenging to us as well. Sort of three parts of the message today. The first part is information, the second part is appreciation, and the third part will hopefully be inspiration to you as we look at a passage of Scripture. I want us just to introduce ourselves to that passage first, so turn if you would to the book of Revelation, and let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Two verses that Brother Allen preached about when he preached through Revelation not too long ago. And I would encourage you, if you're ever interested in a series on Revelation, get his. It was incredible. And so you check that out and be a part of that. And if you want to look at these verses specifically, again, we're not going to expand on them. We're just going to look at them and also relate to some other verses that help us, I think, put this in a frame of reference for today as to what we might be doing. So Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Remember, this is John speaking. John has been exiled on the Isle of Patmos. He's having a vision, some of which may be a vision, some of which may be a reality. He sort of says, I'm not sure what it was exactly, so we don't know what it was, but he's seeing some things here. And look at what it says. We'll make some comments about this, then we'll sort of take a diversion, then we'll come back to it at the wrap-up time just a few minutes from now. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That, of course, is speaking about Jesus Christ. I want us to just look at what God might be doing to help us as we lead up to a time, this is a future time, remember, that we might see how we might have an impact leading up to this time. And we don't know when this particular occasion is going to happen, but it is going to happen that this particular event takes place. And so we need to think about maybe how we can have a part in what is taking place in this particular passage of Scripture. But before we do that, I want to just give some information to you. Now, again, this may bore some of you, maybe something that you don't care about, but if you're a part of our church family, and if you give to our church family, or even if you don't give and are considering giving, particularly as Brother Allen has been preaching about the generous life, this is sort of a bonus message, if you will, to that. Not just talking about giving of your financial resource, but giving of your life, your time, your talents, all of those things. But as you live out that generous life, I think this will be very relevant for each and every one of us, because you're giving this money, and here's where some of that goes. Look on the screen, and you'll see a mission section of our budget. This is just the mission section, mission ministries. Now, there's other mission that we do, but this is this particular section of our 2017 budget. And this particular section is a total of $638,000. $1,000, which is 9.8% of our total church budget. So about 10% of our church budget. Every time you give a dollar to our church budget, 10 cents of it basically is going to this particular area. Over the course of a year, all of your getting is going to accumulate so that we give to our cooperative program $400,000. Some of you say, what in the world is a cooperative program? That's a big chunk of money. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That is our denominational giving entity that provides resources for all the things that Southern Baptists do, a part of which is some 3,500 missionaries that are on the international mission field, some 3,500 to 4,000 missionaries that are in the North American mission field, our seminaries, various other pastor encouraging things that are taking place all over the world. Through the 40,000 Southern Baptist churches giving to the cooperative program, we are able to keep on the field and do ministry literally around the globe. Personally, I believe it is the single greatest mission giving entity in the entire world. It's all of us cooperating together as individual churches, putting our resources together that we might provide support so that all of those who are on the field, or at least most of them, don't have to spend a lot of time raising their support when they come back home or even while they are on the field. So that's where a good portion of that money goes, probably the largest single line item in our entire church budget. Association missions, that's right here in our own Bradley County, but ministry's not just done in Bradley County. Phil Taylor, who is our director of missions, we now call it the CrossNet Baptist Network. He, along with Jason Butte, who is the pastor of Washington Avenue Baptist Church, and Steve Huff, who's the pastor of Mount Carmel Baptist Church here in Bradley County. The four of us just got back from Nepal and were able to minister there together at a pastor's conference, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. But just an incredible trip. Those two guys, Steve and Jason, never been there before, and you talk about guys that are on fire and seeing and sensing some things that God's doing that their churches might be involved in. It was just an incredible blessing. But the association missions, that's another part of this category. Missions ministry, that is to help us with our missionary house. You may not even know that we own a house that missionaries live in when they're on stateside assignment. Right now, Andrew and Alicia Taywin are living there, and they do that each time they come in. Others, there's been two missionary families that have lived there this year, and you support that through your giving. Help us to keep that up and provide things there. Student missions, that helps middle, high school, and college students go on mission trips, whether it's as groups or individually as they go around the world. Missionary support, this is eight families, individuals, or ministries with family or close ties to our church. Again, I'll use Andrew and Alicia Taywin as an example. Alicia's mom and dad are members of our church. Andrew and Alicia are with a ministry called Pioneers, and that particular ministry is one where they, Andrew and Alicia, have to raise their own support. It is not one of the entities that our cooperative program supports, but it's a Bible-believing, gospel-oriented, evangelical mission ministry, and so Andrew and Alicia Taywin are supported at, or to some extent out of that missionary support. Many of you support them directly through Pioneers. Thank you for doing that. Others of you, if you want to have a find out more information about that, we'll be glad to give you more information about how you can do that directly in addition to what you do as you give to the church. And then short-term missions and international partnerships, that is helping our own church people and others who may contact us going on trips, international particularly, helping our own people go. Everybody from our church that goes on a mission trip with our church, we offer to them, if they want it, financial support to go, because we believe, I believe incredibly strongly, if a person gets their feet on a mission place soil, their life will never be the same again. It is unbelievable getting your feet on the ground. Well, you might say, why don't we just send all that money to these people and let them work? Well, we could do that, but I promise you this. When a person gets their feet on the ground, not only are they going to be willing to give more, they're going to want to see more and more people go. Their hearts are going to be changed because they see what's going on in the world that is so radically different from the way you and I live on a day-to-day basis. And so that part is a part of our budget. So every time you give to the budget, that's a part of where that money goes. Then we have our global mission offering. This past year, our goal was $355,000. We received $282,000. Here's how that is spent or allotted to each and every various ministry that you have. Well, let me go over this first. What were our goals for 2017? 5 FBC people called and sent out for extended mission service. That's not for a short-term mission trip. That's for like 6 months, a year, 2 years, lifetime. There are opportunities all over the world for short-term missionaries, school teachers, individuals to go hiking up into the hills, to do all kinds of things in various countries on short-term, 3 months or more. And you can go either through our denomination or with independent mission agencies as well. And so we only had about 3 and possibly 4 that went out this past year, so we didn't quite reach that goal. 50 trips from FBC to locations outside Bradley County. All told, by the time 2017 ends, we'll have about 42 trips that will have gone outside Bradley County. One that's coming up, we have a group going to the Philippines. We also have a group going to Puerto Rico to help with disaster relief through our association. There are about 15 or 18 of them going, and 4 of them are from our church. And so as you go out, again, we come alongside you to help do that, but that's all outside of Bradley County. We're going to be at about 42 or 43, 500 FBC members going on short-term mission efforts. We're going to be at about 390 people by the time the year ends. And we praise the Lord for that, but we're still short of our goal of 500. 5,000 FBC folks regularly praying for God to send forth workers into. How in the world are we going to do that? We don't even have 5,000 people that come. Well, if each of those 500 people go on a trip, ask 10 people to pray for them, bam, 5,000 people right there are praying for God's people to be out on mission as we go around this world. These are very attainable goals. We're not there yet. We're going to strive for that again this year, but praise the Lord, over the past 5 years, every one of these categories has increased, and we thank the Lord for that. Our global mission offering goal was $355,000 last year. Again, Jeff and Brother Al and I are going to be meeting in the next week or two to lay that out. And that particular funding goes in the following ways. Lottie Moon International Missions, the Christmas offering is $150,000. And again, for those of you that were raised Southern Baptist, you know what the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is. It is a focus. 100% of the dollars that go to Lottie Moon go to the mission field. It's special projects. For example, we rode in a vehicle of one of our company people in Nepal, and that was paid for through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. They have a motorcycle. That's almost all of our missionaries have special needs, and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of that money goes directly to the missionaries that are out in the field. Same thing for the Annie Armstrong, $62,500. That's above and beyond the North American Mission Board's normal operating budget. Then $25,000 again to help our own people go on trips, $12,500 to the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. There are 3 or 4 locations across the state of Tennessee, and when you give to the global mission offering, you're supporting these particular ministries. We're helping to start 3 churches in North America, 1 in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, 2 in Washington, D.C., and in Las Vegas, we're still working to get that back restarted. So if you sense the Lord is laying on your heart something to do in Las Vegas, by the way, John Ogle told me this morning that he had talked to his son Travis, and since the tragedy that took place in Las Vegas, it has been incredible what Hope Church and other churches have been able to do in ministry in Las Vegas. As a matter of fact, Travis Ogle just this past week spoke at a concert that Ricky Skaggs did in Las Vegas as sort of a in honor of and in memory of. All the television stations in Las Vegas broadcast that, and our own Travis Ogle was on television all over Las Vegas about what God is doing even in the midst of this tragedy. That's a God thing. That is a God thing. The motels in Las Vegas, I'm told, had signs that said, "Please pray for us." Goodness gracious, I don't even know if they know what they were asking for. But it's amazing what God is doing in the midst of things that are going on. And then Nepal special ministries and projects. And you might ask, why are we doing all this stuff in Nepal? That's another story for another day that we'll tell you about. But God has just been doing some unbelievable things in us. And it is amazing what he's allowing us to do through different avenues in Nepal. And again, we'll share more about that in future times. And then $20,000 for emergency needs or travel funds for missionaries. If they have someone in their family who get sick or they need to get somebody home, then we have some resources. They can call us. We'll be glad to help you. Matter of fact, there's one college student who needs to get to where her parents are serving over Christmas, and we're going to be paying for her airfare because that family couldn't afford that, because that's not a part of the resources they have. And so different ways that we can help people, you do that. So that's information for you to ponder and to think about. Now, appreciation. First Baptist Cleveland, I cannot thank you enough for what you do through your heart in praying and giving and going. Over the past 5 to 6 years, every one of these categories, as I mentioned earlier, has been on the increase. And I believe God wants to continue to do that. I believe as we come more global-minded, we will be more effective locally in the things that we do. And so I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for allowing me to go to Nepal. It's about my 8th or 9th or 10th time to go. Every time I go, I'm so thankful for what God is doing through you. And I get to be one of the instruments that you send over there to be a part of what God is. And others in our church who go to other places. We have a group that's getting ready to leave to go to North Africa. We have a group getting ready to go to the Philippines. We have a group getting ready to go to Puerto Rico. We have groups that are getting ready to go help with Operation Christmas Child processing of shoeboxes. It's unbelievable. And I want to thank you for your willingness in what you are doing. But we're not yet where we need to be. There's still so much more to be done. But your generosity is incredible. And I believe as God lays upon your heart things that he desires for you to do, not just in giving, but in praying and going and giving, you will be amazed at what he does in and through this family, this body we call First Baptist Cleveland. And so I am grateful to be a part of this church and what you allow me to do and what you allow us to do in this entire arena of missions. But we're only scratching the surface. Maybe in 2018 we'll meet every one of those goals that you saw up there that were listed. Now for hopefully some inspiration. Go back to that passage in Revelation if you would please. And I want us to look at it in a little bit. We're not going to take long. And this is more like a devotion, okay? And again, for those of you that don't like devotions on Sunday morning, please forgive me. But I truly sense this is what the Lord laid upon my heart to share today. Let's look at these two verses again. After these things, now remember, this is a future real event. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count from, what does your Bible say next? Every. Would you underline, circle, highlight, mark on your electronic Bible that word every nation, and what? All tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Now, do we need to go over a definition of the word every and the word all? I don't think so. Every means every, no exception. All means all, no exception. They have gathered here. Who is it that's gathered? If you read on, you'll see that it is people who have died during the tribulation. Some of them are martyrs. Some of them may have died natural deaths during the tribulation, but they're believers, and they live through what will be one of the most difficult, incredibly hard times to live. And so they're gathered here, and they're from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language. Let me try to explain that a little bit. In the United States, we can't quite comprehend this. If you go to South Miami, although it's going to sound a little bit different, to Northwest Washington, Southwest California, to Northeast New England, you're going to hear people speaking English. Now, some of them can't understand me. When I go way up north, they laugh, they make fun, all that kind of stuff. That's all right. We all still understand that language. That's not the way it is in other countries. For example, in Nepal, Nepal is about the size, perimeter-wise, of Tennessee. Tennessee has about 7 to 8 million people. Nepal has 28 million people in a country that one-third of it is inhabitable because it is the Himalayan mountain range. And so two-thirds land mass, 3 to 4 times as many people live there. But that's not all. There have been many dialects that have been discovered in Nepal. There are many languages in Nepal. Manoj, a pastor that we work with, he speaks 4 different languages: Hindi, Nepali, and then 2 languages that are unique to his own people group. And so get this message in this passage. It's going into great detail beyond just nations. It's going down to pockets of people that some have not yet been found. As a matter of fact, we have a team going over there in February. And I think about the verse that says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Bam! You let an arrow go and the point penetrates. This team that's going in February, they're going to be going up into places, hiking up into places where in all likelihood the name of Jesus Christ has not yet been heard. That's piercing the darkness. You're a part of that because of what they do. It's unbelievable. It is happening all over the world. Other teams of ours are going to other places and are seeing the same opportunities. However, it is interesting. There's something called the 1040 window. The 1040 window relates to two lines of latitude that go around the world. And in between those two lines of latitude is the greatest number of lost people as you go around a band of the world. If you add to that a circle of the most densely populated areas of lostness, on top of that band, that circle will go right on the top of South Asia. We are there in the midst of the greatest darkness in regard to lostness in the world. You're there. Every time you pray, every time you give, and those of you who go, and there's opportunities for many more. Not just there, but this is sort of a focus place for us for the present time. That may change in the future. For right now, that's what it is. And so that's an opportunity. So I want you to get the picture. But let's go back to one more passage of Scripture. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We know this as the Great Commission. Jesus, after he'd been resurrected, he had told his disciples where to go. He met them where he had said to meet them. Some of them were thrilled about what was happening. Some of them were still perplexed about it. That's what the Scripture says. But he's going to give what we call the Great Commission, the great challenge, sort of Jesus' last words before he's going to ascend into heaven about what we need to be doing. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, therefore, and I'm going to paraphrase the next part a little bit because this is really what it means. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all the nations. There's that word again, all. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That was 2,000 years ago. The verses we're looking at in Revelation are sometime in the future. Listen to this. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. Some of our company people in South Asia gather statistical information that an entity called the Joshua Project uses to determine lostness all around the globe. It is amazing what your people, your Southern Baptist missionaries are doing around the world in research. Our folks doing research in Nepal believe it's possible that by the year 2025, every single people group in Nepal could have heard the gospel. Now, let me remind you what Scripture says. These events in Revelation are not going to happen. Matthew 24, Mark 13. It's either Mark 13 or Mark 10. Talk about the fact that these end time things will not come until the gospel has been shared in every nation. Let's break it down to people groups and tribes and tongues. Follow me here. I can't explain this well, and hopefully the Lord will move beyond my inability to explain it. Let's just say that every country may have the gospel preached to every language group by the year 2030. 13 years from now. 13 years from now. We can be a part of that. We are a part of that. We're going to be a greater part of that. And let's say that within the next 20 to 30 years, Revelation 7 becomes a reality because the tribulation may have already come. Hear me now. Listen to this. there may be some, it's possible that there may be some people that we're sharing with face to face in these places who will be gathered at this place 20 to 30 years from now. That's unbelievable. If the Lord comes back, and many people are saying He's going to come back soon, but He's not going to come back until every nation is heard. Not going to happen. Our folks believe in Nepal that could happen by the year 2025. When Christ comes back. And this is, again, a lot of different revelation things. But in this tribulation time, as we see what takes place, there could possibly be, get this, some people that some of you talk to face, who in the future are being talked about in Revelation chapter 7. But listen to this. If nobody goes to tell them, they're going to die and go to hell. That is the reality. You say, wait a minute, Jim, how does God do that? Well, I'll just tell you, look at at Romans 1, 2, and 3. Romans 1 says people who've never heard are judged in light of creation. Romans 2 says they're judged in light of conscience. And all people who are judged in light of only creation and conscience will sin. Every single one of them will sin against creation. They'll make the creature something that is greater than the creator, and they'll worship the creature. God's word says that. And then conscience, everybody has a conscience all around the world, and they'll sin against that. Because of that, they will die and go to hell. Romans chapter 3 talks about hearing the name of Christ. That's the only way people can go to heaven. People are dreaming about that. They're saying to missionaries that are coming, we knew somebody was coming, tell us about this. It's unbelievable what's going on. The time is ripe and ready, and we can be a part. You can be a part from right here if you never set foot out of this church. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I hope you'll go. I hope you'll pray. I hope you'll give. But no matter what the case is, think about this. You, at this very moment, could be praying for or giving to or helping somebody go who's going to be talking to somebody who's at this event in Revelation chapter 7 in the next 30 to 40 to 50 years. That's incredible that we had that opportunity. Oh, my friends, we've got to do ministry right here in our hometown. We've got to do ministry in our nation. We've got to do ministry in our hemisphere. But I'm telling you, we've got to go to the uttermost parts of this world. And we got to be diligent about that. What will you do? James says, let's not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. All of us cannot go. I understand that. All of us may not be able to give. But I'll tell you this. Every single one of us who is a believer can pray. Many can give, and a lot can go. What is it that you will do? What is it that I will do to further pierce the darkness with the name that is above every other name. That the name that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He's the only way people are going to get to heaven. And nobody's going to hear about Him unless people are sent. You and I can be sent. We can send and we can pray and we can watch God work. And He's doing that. But He wants to do it more. Let me just show you five pictures of our trip. This is the summary of our trip right here. First picture, that's a church. That's about a 10 by 14 foot Kathmandu, Nepal. It is a church that ministers to homeless kids, helps them do school afterwards. I don't understand all of it. It also ministers to people who are addicted to drugs. The pastor is the man on the right. The lady on the left is the wife of a ministry coordinator that we're beginning to work with potentially in Nepal. The guy in the middle is Manoj, our pastor friend that we work with every time we go to Nepal. Pastor church, we've done conference. This is a church up in the hills, about 6,000 feet elevation or so. That's the whole church right there. That's people that are gathered, the pastor, his wife and two children there, and the guys that were on our trip and some other folks. I want to show you a picture out the window of that church. Just, I mean, there's no window in the, there's no window, but you look out an opening, that's what you see, right? Isn't that ugly? Oh, man. The peak to the left is the third tallest peak in the world. Nepal has 7 of the 11 highest peaks in the world, some on the border of Nepal and Tibet. That's looking right at that. This next picture is a shot of the place where we stayed. We were looking down over this village of about 20 or 25,000 people. To the left, you can see the sun getting ready to peak up over those mountains. And this is at about 5,000 feet elevation. That's Phil Taylor and then Jason Butte, Steve Huff, far right. And this is the family in whose home we stayed. We had our quiet times out on that patio each morning. It was unbelievable. Watch the sun come up. It was incredible. This is a group of pastors and church leaders that we had the pastors' conference with. This was some of those who were attending that came from, walked in or rode in from great distance, and we sat down, heard from them about what's going on in their church, in their life. These are all Baptist churches that are doing incredible things in Nepal, and we are a part of that kind of thing. And it was just an awesome, awesome trip. And Jason and Steve are sharing with their churches today at Mount Carmel and Washington Avenue, and I told them I was going to be praying for them as to what God does. But folks, you're a part of all this through your praying and your giving and your going. And I praise the Lord for that. But there are some people who may not hear. And if they die without hearing, they're not going to spend eternity in that place Jeff was talking about that's so much more. And that's what we want for them to be in that place. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the vision that you've given to this church and Brother Allen's leadership and us getting to the place where we are. But Lord, we all know we have a long way to go. A long way to go. But I praise the Lord for a people, a body, a family that's willing to move forward in the process. So God, would you bring conviction to each one of us in this worship center this morning about how we need to pray, about how we need to give, and about how we need to go. That not only our lives would be impacted and enriched, but we would be preparing people who will one day stand before you, and maybe they'll say that First Baptist Cleveland is how I was impacted, and none of us may ever see any of them. Oh God, challenge our hearts. Thank you for the opportunities you give us, and may we honor you with all we say and do. In Christ's name I pray.